If you are a visitor or the first time you are in Sunday morning service, is there anybody like that? First time, you've never been here in Sunday morning before. You, sir? Remark, right? Matt. Matt, okay, I'm close. I'm sorry, you're going to have to come again. This doesn't count. Okay, this doesn't count. I'm sorry, but you're going to have to come back next week. Can you do that? Can you do that? You're going to have to give this man a chance, because don't judge the church by me. Okay? You okay? I'm California, you know. So I got to give that, you know, declaration at the beginning there. All right. I appreciate that. Make sure you come back. All right. He said he would, Pastor, so I'm covered. Acts chapter 14, verse 27. I really want to focus on just a small phrase in one verse. A lot of times I preach a lot of scripture, but I want to come off of one verse and one phrase. If you're able to stand, let's stand for the reading of God's word this morning, Acts chapter 14. We're going to look at verse 27. Acts 14, verse 27. And we read this in God's word. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them. All that God had done with them. Let's go to the throne this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, our most gracious Master, we know you love us. We don't deserve that love, that Almighty God that would frame the universe and cosmos would look down this morning here in Houlton City. And Lord, I just pray for your anointing hand of power this morning. The Holy Spirit would speak through me and to me. Guide my very words. Father, I pray that you direct service today. Lord, I pray that I would not say anything that would bring honor or dishonor or would hurt the cause of Christ today. Well, that every word that's spoken this morning lift up the name of Jesus. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to know, first of all, that, and I hope I conveyed that through the slides this morning, that it's God that does the work. Paul came back from his first missionary journey, and if you know the book of Acts, you know that it was Barnabas and Paul that went out. The church commissioned them, putting Barnabas as a leader there, and Paul goes out, and during the course of their journey, Paul begins to be the speaker and begins to ascend over Barnabas as far as the leadership of the preaching and things, but Barnabas was still the senior man. They both returned back to their home church, and there's a discussion about taking John Mark, and it gets so heated that Barnabas says, "Listen, I'm taking him." And so Paul approached the church. They connect him with Silas. They have another dedication service. Now they got two missionary couples going out. That's how it reads. You all read the Bible. Okay. I've often heard them say, "Oh, well, Barnabas wasn't nothing because they laid their hands and commissioned." Well, they'd already done that with Barnabas. He was now leading a second one. Paul is then given a commission, and he goes out. And just because we got more about Paul doesn't mean anything was wrong with Barnabas. It was Barnabas, the man of compassion, the son of consolation, that brought Paul to them in the first place. Amen? And you know it was right with God, and you know it was God's will, because later on, Paul asked for that very same man, John Mark, to come to him. So God has his way of working things out when we let him work with us and use us as an instrument in his hand. And so we see here that Paul comes back and doesn't brag about what he's done. He brags about what was done by God using him. And we all want to be used of God if we have a right heart. Oftentimes people don't want God to use them because of various things, and I'll get into that this morning. But I want you to know, first of all, that Paul would never have been used if he hadn't become one of God's children. Unless he was acquired by God, I mean adopted and accepted into the family, God would have never used him for that extent. To be accepted into the family, you need to be bought. The Bible tells us, "For as much as we know, we are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." What? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Oftentimes, I understand how I illustrate being in Christ, having Christ in us. My children, I had some weird children, but they used to like to take these cookies we could get over there to kind of, the closest thing you have is Chips Ahoy. And when we got back to the States in one day, and they've been over there many years, they came back and they said, oh, they got the same cookies here, Dad. They call them Chips Ahoy. And they took a Chips Ahoy cookie, they ate it. They don't taste the same, Dad. That doesn't mean it's better or worse. It just don't taste. We got into Russia, and we would get the raisins, and you'd put one in your mouth. It would crunch. Because they made them out of seeded grapes. And so we thought we was going to be great. One year we came out, we brought back a pack of sun-made raisins. Seedless black raisins. You know, you guys you don't even realize there's different raisins around the world. And I thought, we're going to impress them. We brought a big old pack back. We started passing them out to our teenagers, and these are boring. They don't have a crunch. And so, you know, it's what you get used to, amen? And they would take these cookies, and they would take those cookies, and they would not dip them in milk. They would just drop them in milk. Now, I always ask the question about 5 minutes. Oh, I ask the question, are there cookies in the milk, or are there milk in the cookies? Amen. When you're in Christ, and Christ is in you, you can't separate it. What can separate us from the love of God? Amen. And so, they would take that and they'd slurry it all up, and it was just disgusting. But my point was, that's what it's like to be in Christ. Because Christ gets in you, and you get in Christ. And there's no separation. You can't undo that. Right. Have you been acquired today by the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you been bought and then bestowed? I carry with me today, it just happens to be for illustration purposes, Leatherman. It's not a gun. Back off. I know some of you guys are. Now, the reason I carry this is because at one time it was bought. And I got my first one back in the early 90s. I was in Anchorage, Alaska, fixing to fly over to Russia. That's a normal route. In doing so, we ran into Pastor Stan Roach, First Baptist Church, Anchorage, Alaska. Now, Pastor, you may know Pastor Roach? Okay. Well, you don't have to question. If you know him, you don't know him. Pastor Roach started that church in First Baptist Church, Anchorage, Alaska, hundreds of years ago. And that was hyperbole. And he was a three-tour combat Marine in Vietnam and applied to go back for the fourth tour. He says, nothing will make you feel more alive than learning than killing people. And he went and applied to go back. And he'd ride a motorcycle, like you heard about, you know, he had it all. And God broke his heart. His wife had gotten saved, and he got saved. And he got saved, amen. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? He got in both feet. He got in the milk, and the milk got in the cookies, amen. And when he got saved, God broke his heart. Changed him 180 degrees. Like, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And he has a track out today called From Mercenary to Missionary. And God sent him up to Alaska, and he started that church. And but he's still the kind of guy. He's a little older fella. But I'll be honest with you, I was a Marine as well. And I'm intimidated by it. You know, and he's got... He says, Brother Smith, I'll take you to the airport. And I thought, oh, this is awesome. Just Pastor and I. And I get in the van, the 354 one ton crew cab dually four-wheel drive power stroke diesel pickup truck, blue with the silver accents, crew cab. And we're going to the airport. And he's got his cowboy hat on, got his cowboy boots on, he's got his gun on his hip, and he's driving to the airport. And every now and then he'd look at me. And I'm thinking, you know, and I'm just quietly sitting here. And then pretty soon, I'm thinking, what did I do? you know? And then we're getting into town. It's an hour drive from where he lives out in the boondocks where the Bears are. And we get into town. And, oh, yeah, he shot right during camp. Shot one of the black bears out of the tree. It happened more than once. And I was there for the last one. And he shot it out of the tree, and it hit the ground. And then he made sure it was dead. And then they called the game warden. The game warden came over. Did you fire a warning shot? He says, yeah, right there behind his left shoulder. He says, what did you shoot him with? He goes, my 9mm. He says, you can't kill a bear with a 9mm. He says, shh, don't tell him that. This is Stan Roach, not afraid to shoot a 9mm at a bear. And he did, and he killed it. And I'm just thinking, I'm getting nervous. And pretty soon he says, do you have a Leatherman? Now, my answer was no. And my complete answer in my head was, and I don't want one. Why didn't I want one? Well, my wife had approached me just prior to that, saying, hey, the kids would like for your birthday, write that down, June 27th, for your birthday, they'd like to get you a Leatherman. I'm like, I don't want a Leatherman. It's gimmicky, multi-tool doodads. And I made my living with my tools. I had toolboxes, rolling toolboxes. I had one you could put a 3,000-pound milling head on it. I had built it specially so it could carry that. I had tools. I had all kinds of tools. I had every tool for every job. I didn't want a doodad to carry around. It's stupid. You know, a Swiss Army knife. What a bunch of piece of junk. And I didn't want one. But all I said was no. Okay? I didn't say all that. And he pulls into REI there, right there in Anchorage, and says, well, he says, I never met a missionary as any good, didn't have one. I said, yes, sir. And so he grabs me, takes me into the thing, taps the counter, and lays behind the counter, says, get me that one right there. And so she pulls it out, and he bought it and bestowed it. It would never have been mine if it hadn't have been bought and given to me. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now notice the next verse in John chapter 10. He says, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And when he gave that to me, I very, very graciously said, oh, thank you, Pastor. Just what I need. I didn't say that. But I said, oh, thank you. I was thinking, just what I need. Rolling of the eyes. Because in my suitcases, we had extra boxes because we could take it into Russia at the time. I had tools. And buddy, I'm telling you, I had tools. I had tools. Okay? They weren't made in China. They weren't made in Taiwan. They were tools, man-made American tools. The only problem was those boxes never made it. And at that time in Siberia, you couldn't buy a Phillips screwdriver. There were no hardware stores. There were no small stores that sold tools. You couldn't buy a single tool anywhere. They were not sold. The only way you might find one is if some man at some point during his time at the factory stole one and now is too old to use one or is too drunk and wants to get alcohol and he's out in the street trying to sell a screwdriver. And that happens occasionally, but there were none of those people available when I needed one. And I landed in Siberia, Russia, and all my tools were not with me. The only tool I had was a Leatherman. And would you know, God has such a sense of humor. Doesn't he? Amen, sister. Before I left, I used every single tool of that Leatherman, including both of the rulers, one metric and one standard. I was in Russia. They used metric. I still use standard. I used them both. Now, I have better knives than that knife. I have better files than that file. But you know, that diamond file, I've had two family members I've had to file their teeth down with that. My wife is one of them. And my next to youngest son, when he was the youngest son at the time, fell and hit his teeth on the railing. I filed his teeth down with my Leatherman. I wouldn't have used it if I hadn't had it. coming up here from Austin. We got run over by a lady that didn't have insurance at a gas station. We were just sitting there parked. She decided to run her trailer over the front of the car. It's a rental car. They wanted me to take it back to Austin. We were up in Waco. So I don't want to keep going back. And that's the second car we've had to start this trip with. The last one we had to take it back because it's so bad. I don't want to do it a third time. And they said, well, can you drive it? I said, not yet. I can't. But you want me to try to do some repairs? They said, if you can do it, do it. I said, it's going to require some holes. I said, that's fine. You can drill into a fender with one of these things. I found that out. Wouldn't have been able to do it if I hadn't had the tool. How'd I get the tool? It was bought and bestowed. Are you in the hand of God this morning? If you have not been saved by Jesus Christ, you don't belong to Him. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and follow me. You know, salvation is quite simple. It's hearing the voice of the Master in your heart and obeying and submitting to His will. His will, yeah. What does the Bible say? God's will is not that any perish, but that all will come to repentance. That's the will of God. This morning, are you saved today? Do you know Jesus? Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 7, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, we have done mighty things in thy name. We have cast out demons. And he'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. What a shame not to be known by the Master. Salvation is not in a prayer. Salvation is not in words that you make. Salvation is found in Jesus Christ. When we pray, we just simply allow him to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And when Jesus saves us, the Bible says he saves us to the uttermost. It's his change in you that makes your salvation real. Have you been acquired by the Master this morning? Well, if you're not been acquired, he doesn't want to use you. That's the truth. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1 and 2, he says, I beseech thee therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, and may prove that which is that acceptable, good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you've been saved today, have you presented yourself to God? In other words, if you've been accepted, have you made yourself available? Available. The greatest ability that you have, that you possess, that God is interested in, is your availability. You may not be the most handsome person. You may not be the strongest person. You may not be the smartest person. But if you'll make yourself available, God will use you. See, God doesn't need any of us. Think about it. He's more beautiful. He's more powerful. He's more intelligent than all of us combined. And yet he's willing to allow us to be used of him. Are you available for the Master's use? The Russians use a word called podrukoy. Are you podrukoy? Podrukoy means underhand. Not underhanded like some politicians I know. Okay? But literally, under the hand. Okay? Now, if you happen to have another instrument concealed behind your... You want it so that you can get your hand right to it and get it out quick. Amen? Other tools. They have little handles and these little things that go in the magazine or the cylinder. Yeah. You want it underhand. You want to be able to get that. And if you've practiced with it, you know how to clear and get that thing out so it's in the hand. Amen? It gets in the hand better when it's under the hand, when it's right there so you know right where it's at. And that is what he's talking about when he says, be available for me. He says, be right there right there so I can use you. You know, if I was going to go hunt bear, I probably wouldn't use a .22. And I don't think I would use Pastor Roach's 9mm. But both will kill the bear. And they're both a better tool than your 416 Rigby sitting at home. The best tool is the tool that's available. Now, some of you may not realize how important this is. Some of you may not even agree with me, but let me prove it to you right now this morning. I can get most of you today. I think I can go get you to say, yeah, you're right. You ladies do this. My wife, bless her heart. I don't mean no offense to this. I'm going to have some fun this morning, and Pastor will skin me later, maybe. You ladies have a tool. I had so much fun last night listening to the stories of my wife and her shoe. The Lady Leatherman. That thing works. Well, back in my day, if you children were misbehaving, Mama would learn how you could behave right in the grocery store. You didn't hear that. Unless it was followed by, shut up. Come on. And sometimes the people around would offer help. You want me to hold the infant while you take care of that? We need some more shoes in the hands of women. They not only work for discipline. In fact, you can work this across the room if you're real good at it. Am I right? How many have ever been hit with one of these? You know, my generation, it was a totally different thing. My mom was telling me, I was hearing some stories whenever there's a funeral. You always got the stories. And the neighbor's kids came over one day and beat up my mom because they thought she had done something to the sister. It was a sister and a brother. And so he was protecting his sister. And my mom hadn't done it, but they didn't know that. They assumed she had, so they beat her up. But she came in. Her dad said, what happened? Well, so he got on the phone. Said, I'm coming down. He said, this is what happened. Their mom said, well, come on over and beat the kids. He said, well, I'm going to come over and talk to the dad first. The dad was a pilot, and there's an airport down the street. He amazingly had flying to do. My mom said he went up in the air, and he wouldn't come down until he seen my grandfather's truck leave going back to his house. And he came over and beat the neighbor kids for beating his daughter. We should be, you're advocating violence? No, because let me tell you something. We didn't have violence. I carried a shotgun and a rifle to school every day. I had a knife in my pocket. Not one time did one kid ever get stabbed or shot. It took care of violence with a shoe. Shoe's an awful tool. It's not designed for whipping kids. It's not designed for hammering nails, ladies. How many's done it? Come on. It's also not designed to kill palmetto bugs. But sometimes you have to. You guys think, yeah, them women, they don't know what they're doing. They use a shoe to kill palmetto bugs. They need to get the right tool for the right job. Amen. How many of you rascals have a screwdriver with hammer marks on the back of the handle? Why? Because it's available. That whole point of that illustration is not just to make you laugh. It's some humor, but humor will help you remember. God is looking down from heaven and saying, you know what? I really need a chisel for that job, but all that is available is a screwdriver. Brother, I'll use you. I know you're not the right tool for the job, but you're the tool that's available. And I'm telling you, I have a lot better knives than the knife on my Leatherman. When I needed to cut into that fender of that car to put some tie wraps, that's the modern day version of baling wire. And then I had some duct tape and I got down the road. I didn't have that right tool, but I had this tool. And it still put the holes in the fender. Are you available today? Are you available for the master to wrap his hand around? And the reason most of us will never, many will never be available for God is because they're afraid. You've been accepted into the master's home. God wants to use his tool. Paul and Silas, as they were marching down the streets of Philippi, had a lady that was demonically possessed behind them saying, these are servants of the Most High God. Serve him. Not a single thing wrong in that entire message. But they turned and rebuked her. Why? Because God wants to use his tools. And if you'll make yourself available, he'll use you. Why won't you be available? You're afraid. This is, be honest. Most people are afraid to be altered. Because when you use a tool, You can tell I got my front, my tip's a little bit, got some little nicks in it. Why? Because I was putting holes in the fenders of a car. Okay? Now, there's some scratches down the side. I can see that, I can still see some enamel on the blade from my wife's teeth. I did hers last. You'll be altered when you're used by the Master. Don't be afraid of God's alterations. Paul said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked. Stoned, left for dead. He had the marks to prove it. I remember 25 years ago, we were making benches in Russia for the church. 25 years ago. Brother Mike, how do you remember that? Because I got the scars. One of those Russian power saws that had no guard. And I reacted. I had it sitting on a little bench. We were cutting. And somebody, probably me, tapped it or whatever to have it. And in the corner of my eye, I saw something falling. And I reached around and grabbed it. When I did that, it kicked off and ran my fingers through that carbide blade that I had imported from Home Depot. And it looked like a murder scene. You know, how many of you have been cut? Good. You got a good cut. But it takes just a few seconds for the blood to come, you know? This wasn't like that. It looked like a murder scene. There's blood. And it came out immediately. And I was like, oh, no. And I'm looking on the ground for the fingers. And I was scared. I went, 1, 2, 3, 4. All four of them are still there. All four of them are hit. All four were there. Hallelujah. And I went, 1, 2, 3, 4. And it's bloody. I said, hallelujah. They all four are there, and they all four still work. Amen. So I wrapped it up in a towel, and I went down to the trauma point, which is where the ambulance is at in their little village here. And I go walking in there, and I'm getting yelled at by the nurse for dripping on the floor. She says, the doctor's still in his office. He hasn't come down because they work so many hours in the office, then they go down to the ambulance point. It's a little tiny place. Go down to his office. And so, you know, no compassion. Hurt my feelings. So I went in there. Into the office, met the surgeon, Sergey. He was in my slides this morning with the big fur hat. And like a tough Marine I was with the nurse and said, you know, just take that toothbrush over there and just scrub out that wood chips, and I don't need Novocaine, just stitch it up. That's how I tell the story. The real story is I went in there and went, and he says, we only got a toothbrush. And they scrubbed out the wood. And then he said, I'm sorry, we don't have any Novocaine. Ah, mama! And then he stitched it up. That's the story, but I like to tell it my way better. But he stitched it up, and they didn't have any antibiotics, so they put salt in it. You ain't lived till you've done that. And, that goes, the old story was better, but this one. And then I had to pull the gauze out every day and soak it in salt water, and I was seeing him on a regular basis and thinking, Lord, why? I can't even finish the benches. I can't use a hand. And Lord, why? What? Why would you do this? I want to be used, Lord. And how can this possibly be useful? We come out of our apartment one day. I've been seeing the surgeon. I got to know him a little bit. And he's standing out there on the road. Now, this is not unusual in Russia because many people don't have phones at all. And nobody had a cell phone. Nobody. So in order to contact somebody, and you would stand outside this door well, because a lot of times people knew you went in that door, they had no idea what floor you live on or what room in that apartment stairwell on the five stories, 420 apartments in that stairwell. You're there somewhere, so they would stand outside, wait for you to come out, and they'd talk to you. Oh, I've waited hours before to meet somebody. And so he's standing there, and he's got a little boy, he has hands on his shoulders, and he says, it's too late for me. Can my son come to church? And I said, thank you, Lord. Now I know why I went through what I went through. What the purpose of that alteration was. And so I said, sure. Came out to church. And I'd like to tell you that he got in church, involved in church, and got saved and baptized and joined to the church. But I don't know that he came more than once, that little boy. And I left it at that. I preached this message before, and I've said often, it didn't matter. It was worth it. How many times have you heard somebody say, if one person gets saved, it's worth it? No, sir, that is wrong. Let me tell you something. Serve God. If nobody gets saved, it's worth it. It's not your job to worry about how many people get saved. We've waited 20 years to have full Estonians get saved and baptized. We had them 2 this year. 20 years. If we'd have stopped at year 19, we would have never seen that. Never. You can't quit. When we left Russia, that little boy had not come to church after that. He may have come once, twice. I don't remember. Not much. We left there thinking, well, he got the gospel. Last Sunday, I got a call from my cousin saying my aunt died. I flew in yesterday from the funeral. I flew out Thursday. I made the funeral. Hallelujah. My aunt wanted me to do her funeral, but unless I'm in the States, it wasn't going to happen. God provided me an opportunity. That's awesome. That's the God we serve. I'm in conferences the next 2 weeks. I'm booked. God put it just those 2 days. My wife has just been blessed by you folks. God put her in one of the best churches to take care and minister to my wife right here. That's the God we serve. But I'm not done with the story. My cousin's calling me. Then I get a thing on WhatsApp. Bling. Got a Russian number. Says, hey, trying to get a hold of you. And I'm thinking, scammer. He's Russian, okay, from Russia. Got talking to him, and eventually he says, my dad is the surgeon that stitched up your hand 25 years ago. Remember I said I'd like to say he's coming out to church. He's coming back to church. 25 years later. God is still on the throne. You have no idea when somebody comes through those doors for one service, the impact that you can have on their lives. If you have little children that come out, maybe on a bus, I don't know, you never know what one visit could change their lives. And you may go to your grave not knowing. You could go to your grave. Do not be afraid to be put in the hands of the Master. He'll put his mark on you. You will not be the same. But it's a loving father. It's the shepherd of the sheep into whose hands you'll be putting yourself. Have you been acquired this morning? Do you know Jesus? Do you know him? If you know him, have you made yourself available to him? In closing, I wanted to give you one more verse. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of thine heart. How do I know what God wants me to do? Get right with God. Do what you want. Because if you get right with God, God changes your wonder. Will you give yourself to God this morning? Do something with you. Let it be said of you down the road. They rehearsed all that God had done with the tool in the Master's hand. Pastor.